final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. We'll finish up today with a conversation appropriate to Pride Month and the other 11, for that matter. All year long, people get to live together and get married in America, regardless of gender identity. And influential people doing just that are profiled in the recent book Queer Power Couples. Author and photographer are also a couple. Hannah Murphy Winter is the author. Welcome, Hannah.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
And Billy Winter is the photographer. Welcome, Billy.
Hi, thanks so much for having us.
Good to have you both. And Hannah, this book sounds like it started like a lot of books with the authors we talked to, with shock that there wasn't one like it already out there.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it was one of the, it was sort of the origin of the book, was asking the question, why doesn't this already exist? And we were able to explore that question a lot in the book, that queer power couples are kind of at the intersection of being obviously coupled and out, and empowered to influence mainstream culture. And that has only really been possible for the last 10 years or so.
Which is an important thing that you point out in the introduction, that we're still relatively early in the age of queer couples being fully out. In fact, both of you came out a bit later. Talk about that, Billy.
Yeah, that's also talked about in the book a little bit. where do I even begin? Well, it's kind of funny because, like, there were, you know, we both came out in our mid-20s, and that seemed to kind of be a little bit of a common theme with some of the other couples in this book as well. You know, I think when we were going through the process of making this book, which took, 3 years between interviewing everyone and photographing everyone, it was really interesting to see, you know, kind of how many common experiences we all had. And at the time thinking, you know, we were the only ones. So it was kind of a reinforcement of how important a book like this is to expose folks to kind of the universality of some of the queer experiences, regardless of age, geographical location, gender identity.
It sounds like a support group formed pretty quickly.
Like the funnest process. Yeah, exactly.
So Hannah, once you guys committed to making this book, Queer Power Couples, what kind of criteria on what gets you included as a queer power couple?
Yeah, so we were really mindful of not making a book that was just, that was just a collection of celebrities. While I'm sure it would have been very pretty, we were really, really interested in the intersectionality of queerness and examining kind of how different queer experiences manifest. And so we had the three criteria that I mentioned. You had to be out, you had to be coupled, and you had to be empowered to influence mainstream culture. And that meant that we had a lot of leeway in who we could invite to be a part of this book. And so we have, we do have folks from Hollywood. We also have folks, we have writers, we have academics, we have, just a massively broad swath of human experiences in the book because of that. And I think that that's a big part of why, you know, we started getting like really wonderful feedback from this book about people feeling seen by when they read this book. And I think that that's a big part of why.
The book is called Queer Power Couples on Love and Possibility, lavishly illustrated. The text is by Hannah Murphy Winter, and the interviews that she and Billy Winter perform. Billy also is the photographer for the book. And if you have questions or comments, join us with your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about some of the people here. Musicians first. Give us a little sketch, if you would, Hannah, of Mike Hadrius and Alan Weifels.
Oh, they were such a wonderful interview. So Mike and Alan are actually, they met in the city that I grew up in the city I live in now. In Seattle, and they were they came together through their music, and I think that was what was so particularly striking about them. So Mike had started making music as Perfume Genius, which is the band that they both perform in now, and he'd gotten a record deal off of MySpace when that was still possible, and he was completely overwhelmed by the prospect and asked his friend, who he'd met, I think in AA, while they were getting sober, And he asked his friend if he would help him because he knew that he had a music degree. And they, over the course of practicing together, they fell in love. And, you know, the beginning of their relationship was really performed on stage in that first tour.
Wow. And so we move on to Molly Knox Ostertag and N.D. Stevenson. What are they known for? And Billy, it sounds like a similar story here with a lot of the others. They kind of avoided a relationship before getting into one.
Excuse me. Well, they were in very similar fields, and they were on each other's radar for quite a while, kind of circling each other professionally and, you know, having a lot of kind of social overlap because of that. And it was... Their story is so cute and very, very dramatic and sapphic, just in terms of it being kind of, like a will they or won't they kind of moment. And from a photographic standpoint, one of the more unique photo shoots that we did, we asked every couple to pick the location for the photo shoots, and it had to reflect, you know, a part of the world that they've built together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went camping with them, and camping like in the California hills, and just hearing their story kind of firsthand after the Zoom interview was really, really special. And I don't know, it just seems still really fresh to them. Not the relationship, but like that story. I think it's like a very amusing story for them to tell. And, you know, just again, like one of the possibilities for people to see themselves in, you know, not to backtrack too much, but like, I think it was Mike Hanna who talks about maps. That's the word that he mm-hmm. used in terms of seeing representation. And that, you know, that kind of relationship origin, I think, is a map that a lot of people can relate to.
And ND certainly has lots of lessons for people to learn if they'll listen about ending up as someone other from where you started.
Yeah,
indeed.
I think that Andy in particular, I think, was so, because when we interviewed him, he was in this very transitional space. He was really exploring his gender. And so he was so thoughtful and articulate about, you know, one of my favorite stories there was him saying, you know, like one of, like, part of coming out and part of transitioning is, you know, letting go of what you thought your future might be. And as he was in the process of transitioning, one of the things that he had to let go of was he had grown up in a really conservative Christian environment. And there was a part of him that still thought that, you know, he was supposed to grow up to be a Christian soccer mom. And the idea of letting that go was, you know, was letting go of a future he thought he was supposed to have.
There's some really fascinating insights in the book. It is called Queer Power Couples on Love and Possibility, written by Hannah Murphy Winter, photographed by Billy Winter, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange. Hannah, you do get away from arts and culture. Tell us about Barbara Belmont and Shelley Diamond.
Oh, they were such a blast to talk to. So Barbara and Shelley are they're both scientists, a biologist and a chemist, and they also are significant advocates in queer representation in STEM, in the sciences and technology and math. And so they were such a, you know, they had been in this activist role for years and years and years. They also, you know, they had this incredible coming out story. You know, both of them were previously married to men. Both of them had these absolutely wildly dramatic flings with women in the 70s. I think some of the more like dramatic and shocking stories actually came from them. And they were just, you know, they added this whole distinct perspective on what it means to come out, because coming out in a field where I think like interpersonal visibility is really different in the sciences. But Shelley, for example, she got outed in a job in the early in her career and lost an incredible opportunity because of it. She was like her work. She says her work was sabotaged. She had these, you know, horrible experiences being outed early in her career, and so now advocating for representation in their field now is so foundationally important to who they are.
Mm. And Billy, you might have had the tougher job. I mean, even people who get relaxed in an interview can get a bit tense when you ask them to just act naturally around a camera. So in addition to letting them pick the location, how else did you go about it?
Oh, that's a good question. And yes, thank you. I do have the more difficult job. that's a really good question, though, because we did have a lot of time to think about it, and I wanted to be incredibly thoughtful about our approach. And one of the things that we came out of, you know, all the kind of deliberation and thinking was that we really wanted to empower these couples to tell their story as much as possible, to kind of give them the control as much as possible. After the end of each interview, Hannah would ask them to pick the location, and the location, again, that like reflected part of the world that they had built together. So for folks, it, you know, meant a lot of different things. For some people, it was their home. For others, it was their work studio. We went camping. It was, you know, for Aisha and Sam at the restaurant Canlis, you know, obviously part of it was in the kitchen there. But with each location, I would then, you know, ask them to, you know, pick about like five different activities that you would do in these locations. And because they kind of had the home field advantage, that immediately kind of put them more at ease. You know, it really wasn't about having them do, you know, kind of poses or any sort of like more traditional editorial studio photography. It was more just like a reportage, kind of shooting candids around them spending time in their environments. And then at the end of each photo shoot, I would hand them a little just black and white film point and shoot and ask them to go take photos of each other. And that was really interesting because we would really kind of often get like a reaction from everyone. I think a lot of folks just hadn't seen a point and shoot in a really long time.
Yeah.
But luckily everyone, graciously agreed. And then more often than not, they would just like go off to another room or, you know, go around the corner or whatever. And Hannah and I would be packing up our, you know, the photo gear and all that, kind of minding our own business. And invariably, we would hear like giggles from the other room. And every single couple ended up having a lot of fun with that aspect of it. And so a lot of those images made it into each chapter.
They are fun. The black and whites, some of these selfies are pretty amazing. Hannah, I noticed you asked everyone how they felt about being role models and you got a bit of a variety in responses.
Yeah, we did. I think that was something that was really important, I think, in our approach to the book, was wanting to ask the question of, well, what does it mean? You know, we know that this intersection of being out and coupled and empowered to influence mainstream culture is relatively new, which meant that, you know, how often did we actually get to ask, well, what is it like to live there? What is it like to live at that intersection? And so I think we had, you know, everybody, the unifying characteristic was that everyone was really aware that they, that the representation that they embodied was really important. And they took it really seriously. There was a diversity of opinions as to whether or not they liked it. you know, Roxane Gay is the one I point to, I think, in one of the introductory sections, just saying, you know, I like, everybody has a job in society, and if this is mine, I'll take it. But I would, I'd prefer not to. but I think, you know, like the counterpoint to that is like Marilee Lindemann, who's an incredible scholar in Maryland. She runs this program where she inducts hundreds of students a year at the beginning of the year. And she comes out at the beginning of the year to all of them at once. And her thinking in that is that, you know, she has no control over where they came from and how hostile of an environment they came from. But she can make them feel safe there. And that was really powerful, I think.
Wow. We've only touched on less than half of the more than a dozen couples in the book. It is called Queer Power Couples on Love and Possibility, written by Hannah Murphy Winter. Hannah, thank you.
Thank you.
And photographed by Billy Winter. Billy, thank you.
Thank you so much for having us today. It's been a pleasure.
Good to have you. And that'll do it for today's Exchange. We're online at jeffexchange.org. Angela Decker, our senior producer, Charlie Zimmerman, assistant producer, Zach Beagle and Andrew Crackle at the controls today. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Have a great day.